City. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Right now, AL Wildcard Race taking center stage on a Tuesday night baseball doubleheader on ESPN. It starts in moments with the Yankees and Twins, followed by the Angels and Indians. New York has the first AL Wildcard. LA trails Minnesota by a game and a half for the second one. Boston lefty Drew Pomeranz goes for his big league lead tying 17th win of the season tonight versus the Orioles. NFL Giants quarterback Eli Manning said he didn't take offense to coach Ben McAdoo, blaming sloppy quarterback play for a delay of game penalty in last night's loss. The 14-year veteran said during an interview on WFAN, "You only scored 10 points. You deserve some criticism." Meanwhile, McAdoo says the team will absolutely stick with Eric Flowers at left tackle. He struggled mightily against the Lions, especially with pass protection. Dolphins suspended linebacker Lawrence Timmons indefinitely. ESPN's Jeff Darlington reports Miami coach Adam Gase still upset with Timmons for going AWOL from the team without notice Saturday night and is not yet satisfied with any of the explanations that he's received. NBA, an apology from Warriors All-Star Kevin Durant at the TechCrunch conference in San Francisco for going too far on Twitter and defending himself. Durant said Twitter's a great way to engage with fans, but he took it too far. Durant also called his actions idiotic and childish. Durant said that he regretted using his former coach Billy Donovan's name when talking about his experience with the Thunder. NHL Devils forward Brian Boyle has been diagnosed with chronic myeloid leukemia, a type of bone marrow cancer. The team doctor says the leukemia was discovered early and can be largely treated with medication.
The Giants moved to 0-2 after losing to the Lions and have only scored 13 points on the season. What's wrong with their offense? We'll ask John Gruden when he joins Mike and Mike Wednesday morning at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Your business's computing needs are a lot like a symphony orchestra. Each instrument on its own doesn't seem like much, but when the wireless isn't talking with a tablet and that isn't in tune with the desktop, it's a mess. Network Computer Solutions is in the business of putting it all together in perfect harmony. Network Computer Solutions creates, fixes, and otherwise improves your company's networking computers, and that tunes up your profits. Call 247-7223. 247-7223. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000-mile mark. Right now, get any 5 quarts of Valvoline Premium Conventional Oil and an STP filter for $24.99 or an extended life filter for $2 more. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Kane's putting together a backup plan for next year. I'm Kyle Rickey. That story next on NASCAR Today.
Introducing Wrangler Outdoor. Pants and shirts that keep you dry and comfortable in all conditions. Featuring quick-drying, water-repellent fabric and UPF protection, Wrangler Outdoor ensures you're ready for wherever the day takes you, whether it's a walk in the city or a trek in the wilderness. Wrangler Outdoor. Clothing with everyday versatility and outdoor credibility.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to tell you about KFC's Georgia Gold.
And I'm also over here to tell you about Nashville Hot.
Georgia Gold is honey mustard barbecue.
KFC Nashville Hot is spicy and smoky.
Georgia Gold is sweet and tangy.
Nashville Hot is crispy and delicious.
You might be asking how I'm doing this.
You also might be asking where the nearest KFC is.
I don't know what you're asking. This is radio. I can't hear you. Try both delicious flavors at KFC.
Available in extra crispy chicken tenders or chicken littles for a limited time at participating KFCs. Prices may vary.
Casey Kane learned last month that he would not return to Hendrick Motorsports next season. And with no other option yet announced, Kane says he's been thinking about what he would like to do next year if he cannot secure a full-time ride in NASCAR's Premier Series.
Maybe 3 or 4 days ago, I had this great plan to like do sprint cars and see if I could do an IndyCar race or two and do a couple NASCAR races, like 500 and Brickyard, things like that. I thought that would be quite a dream and pretty awesome to do. So, but I also want to, if I can come up with a strong deal for next year, then I would like to do that.
Kane is coming off a 21st place finish on Sunday in Chicago to kick off the 10-race Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. I'm Kyle Rickey. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
6:05, it is the Todd Brummelkamp Show, coming your way on all three of KGYM's frequencies, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and all across eastern Iowa on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. All three frequencies taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight on at least one of them. 107.5 FM, you can hear the Minnesota Twins take on the New York Yankees. That game about to get underway at Yankee Stadium. Jose Berríos taking on C.C. Sabathia. The tarp is off the field. Sounds like they had a little weather issue pass through New York, but they should be able to get that game in tonight. The Yankees and the Twins, if the season were to end today, would meet again at Yankee Stadium in the American League wildcard game. Let's bring our next guest on board, Ed Creech, MLBTradeRumors.com. Ed, do you remember the time that the Indians won 22 games in a row? That was awesome.
Yeah, it seemed like it was just a couple of days ago. My, how time flies.
Yeah, they're still a pretty good baseball team, though, and we'll get to the Indians in just a little bit. But I want to talk about this Twins-Yankees series that's going on at Yankee Stadium right now, because the Yankees just, they seem to be that team for the Twins, in that they stand in the way of the Twins a lot in the postseason. And here it's getting to the postseason, because if the Yankees continue to win, the Twins not necessarily losing ground on the first wild card, but that second wild card that they're holding on to right now with the Angels breathing down their neck, suddenly things get a lot more perilous for them.
It does. I mean, even if the Twins, you're going about how the Yankees have always had the Twins number in the postseason, if the Twins are able to hold serve and secure that second wild card spot, most likely that wild card playing game is going to be at New York against the Yankees. And Ron Gardenhire can testify how many times he's had a great season come to an end at Yankee Stadium. But you talk about the Yankees, the effect on the Twins. The American League Central is going to have a huge impact on that second wild card race. The Twins have seven games against the Tigers coming up in the next 2 weeks. The Indians are going to have a big role in this, because they both have, the Indians have a three-game set against both the Angels and the Twins. And the White Sox have a big four-game series against the Angels at Guaranteed Rate Field next week. So the AL Central is going to have a big say, a big role in who wins that second wild card berth.
Moving to the NL West for just a second, is it time to worry about the Los Angeles Dodgers?
I don't think so. I think part of their downswing was they had the division clinched. They were resting a lot of players. For example, a good example is Cody Bellinger, who went on the disabled list with an ankle sprain. If they were battling either the Diamondbacks or the Rockies for the division lead, I think Bellinger would have played through it. I think you're seeing something similar with Corey Seager and his bulky elbow. Right now it's playable. But I think they're just going to give him some time to rest so he can be as healthy as he can for the postseason. So because they had such a big lead, I think right now their main thing is to get healthy. They've had injuries throughout their rotation, and they just need to get those starters healthy for the big postseason drive, because that rotation, that starting foursome of Kershaw, Darvish, Hill, and Wood, if they're healthy and effective, that can be a very devastating rotation through the National League playoffs.
And it sounds like Dave Roberts at least has openly talked about his plans for Corey Seager when he returns to the lineup. They get suddenly even more dangerous.
Yeah, they do. It is just a special lineup. And I think that's one thing. You just referenced the Indians' 22-game win streak. The thing that's been more impressive about that was not so much that they won the 22 straight, but since then they haven't had the lull. They've won two after losing, and they still look like a strong team that's not going to go in the dumps with the 2 weeks left in the season. And so I think that was a little bit what happened to the Dodgers, combination of complacency and some dinged-up players, and I think that's why they had their downswing last month.
Ed, is the NL Central race over?
No. And by no stretch of the mean is it over. Granted, the Cubs have a seemingly safe 3.5-game lead, but they have, I think they have 8 games, if I recall correctly, against the Brewers and the Cardinals. They have 4 games this weekend at Miller Park, and then they travel to St. Louis for another 4-game series. So I don't think you can say anything is safe. Granted, they looked impressive as St. Louis took a faceplant at Wrigley Field this past weekend. I think that gave them a lot of confidence, and I thought the division race would be a lot tighter because I didn't think St. Louis would get swept at Wrigley. And the Cardinals, again, they face-planted at Wrigley this past weekend, but their final 7 games are against the Cubs and Brewers. So I think if the Cardinals get hot that last week, they can do a lot of damage and make up a lot of ground in the NL Central. So while the safe money is probably on the Cubs to win the division, I think because the Cubs have those 7 games, against the Brewers and the Cardinals, and their final weekend series are against the Reds. Now the Reds are the worst team in the Central Division, but their offense has been pretty good, and their pitching has come around this past month. So I think if the division comes down to that last weekend, I would not take Cincinnati lightly, because that would be the postseason for the Reds. If they think they can play tough and knock the Cubs out of the playoffs or knock them from the division, that's a lot of motivation for a last place team coming into the final weekend of the season.
So you are not ready to say that this is a two-team race. You have not counted the Cardinals out yet.
When I took a look after that weekend sweep at Wrigley, I thought, yeah, they're done. But when I saw their home schedule, 7 games against the Cubs and Cardinals at home that final week of the season, I've counted the Cardinals out more times than I can count this year, and they've hung around. So I think this could be just one more obstacle for them to overcome. And again, playing at home against the two teams you're chasing, that's a good bet for the Cardinals.
It sounds like Jake Arrieta is going to make his return Thursday against the Brewers, so that will be interesting. This Cubs team that Joe Maddon is taking to Tampa tonight, Albert Almora has played really well for this team, and yet Cub fans are frustrated at Joe Maddon's use of him. When you take a look at that lineup, do you think that Maddon could maybe be a better utilizing Almora more?
I think you have to place his at-bats. You want to put this kid who's young, he's in a pennant race again, you want to put him in an advantageous situation. You want to make sure he has favorable matchups. And again, you got I think Maddon's done a masterful job as far as getting guys rest, getting guys playing time to keep them sharp as far as position player group. So, you know, again, when a guy has a World Series title under his belt, I think he gets a long leash as far as who he plays, when they play, because I think he knows the situations that are best for Almora to succeed. And again, look what he's done. He's had a very successful year, and I think based on what's happened so far, I think he's going to have a much larger role for the Cubs in 2018.
Ed Creech, MLBTradeRumors.com, joining us. Talk a little bit about the NL East right now. Sports Illustrated had a story earlier today about Matt Harvey's decline, and I don't know whether you had a chance to see that yet or not, but I'm thinking to myself, this isn't necessarily groundbreaking here. We see pitchers come and go all the time. But when you look at that Mets rotation, and Harvey has had a steep drop-off the last 2 years, Syndergaard is hurt, Mats has had his issues, there has to be something underlying there, does it not?
I think that when you have that many premium pitchers on one team, have as many elbow and shoulder issues that they have, I think there is something that is warranted as far as either how they're being used by Terry Collins and the pitching coach Don Worthen, or the medical staff, the training staff. I know the Mets have bent over backwards the last couple of months as far as almost giving out daily roster updates on the injuries. It's almost like they're being the NFL with their injury reports to what they're giving out. But they have maintained their association with the hospital that they use in New York. So with Harvey's decline, I think his problem are two. One, I think he's a little bit of he's high maintenance, emotionally and mentally. But I think he's had a lot of physical issues the last couple of years. It would be nice to see him get physically straight, to have an off season where he can train and condition, not rehab. And I think if he gets that fight, it'll be interesting to see where he is. I think they just mismanaged Matz. I think last year when he had the bone spur in his elbow, they should have immediately had the surgery to remove it. It would have been a much shorter rehab. In fact, he may have been able to pitch out of the bullpen for the stretch drive last year. But because he pitched with the bone spur, he overcompensated, and now you see what's happened to him. I've been a little bit more impressed by the way they've had Nils Syndergaard keeping him out. They're talking about having him make a couple of starts. That makes sense because you want to make sure that he feels that he's healthy, that he's 100%. So, again, that he can go into the offseason not worrying about his health and that he can actually have a season of training and a normal offseason of training and conditioning rather than worrying about rehabbing or whether or not his arm is going to work or not. So, it's really a tragedy what has happened to that Mets rotation because if they had been healthy, they would have been effective. And I think they would have been something special. And we saw how well they were against the Cubs in the National League Championship Series a couple of years ago. But it's amazing how fickle health can be, especially with pitchers in Major League Baseball.
Is there a chance that the Mets will non-tender Matt Harvey in the offseason and send him into free agency?
Boy, that's a tough call. I don't think so. I think because they have a lot of questions as far as the health and the rotation, I think they need as much depth as they can get. It will be interesting to see how his offseason goes, to be honest with you. Maybe Harvey might be one of those who transitions to the bullpen, where he's only pitching one, maybe two innings, and that he can leave it all on the table instead of having to worry to conserve his pitch count for five, six, seven innings. If that's the case, he could be an interesting closing candidate. Familia has had his injuries, and they have a big hole in the bullpen. So maybe if they feel that Harvey cannot be healthy enough, does not have that durability to be a starter, maybe putting him in the bullpen. But again, I can go back to what I said earlier. Harvey is high maintenance with his mental outlook. And the fact that he has Scott Boras as an agent even complicates matters further. So would it surprise me that they non-tender him? Yes, because I think that's selling short on him, especially when they need depth in their rotation going forward.
Let's stick in the NL East here because Bryce Harper is close to making a return. When you take a look at the Washington Nationals, do they have a dilemma on their hands with Howie Kendrick and Jason Wirth in that outfield? Because Kendrick has really hit the ball well for them.
I think Dusty Baker's been pretty good about managing his roster. He's a player's coach. He knows who's healthy, who's not, who's effective, who's not, and he can find ways of getting playing time in there. Will he go with a hot bat? I would hope so because I think that's the way a manager should manage. And I think Jason Wirth is a veteran enough to realize that if he does not start every game, either for the rest of the season or into the postseason, that he can still play a valuable role coming off the bench as a key pinch hitter in certain situations. So, and I think it's also, you know, Harper, I'm still not totally sold on his health until he can come back and actually produce. You know, we talk about the durability of Matt Harvey. Harper has had some durability issues the last couple of years as well, shoulders and other things. So, I think there'll be enough at bats. I think there's going to be enough playing time for both the rest of the 2 weeks of the regular season into the postseason that does can keep everybody happy.
Going back to the NL Central for just a second, we talk about the teams that haven't been eliminated. One team that has been eliminated is the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they're going to have an interesting offseason. Andrew McCutchen. He has a $14.5 million player option. They could buy him out for $1 million and send him into free agency. If you're Neil Huntington, what direction do you go?
That's another tough call because he's an icon of the franchise. I mean, he was the symbol of the renaissance, the resurgence of the Pittsburgh Pirates when they made the postseason those three straight years. And then to just buy him out and let him go into free agency with nothing in return, I think that's a tough sell. Huntington was getting a lot of grief already for letting Juan Nicasio go to the Phillies and in a roundabout way to the Cardinals. So I can't imagine what kind of heat he'd get from the fan base if he lets McCutchen go for nothing. I think what they'll do is they will pick up the option, keep him in the fold, and then try to trade him in the offseason, similar to what they did last year. And if they can't make a deal that's, you know, of commensurate value, they'll keep him in there because Austin Meadows, who's supposed to be the heir apparent, has struggled tremendously in AAA, and I don't think he's ready to step up. So I think by bringing McCutchen back in the fold, you buy yourself some time, either to work a trade during the winter or buy Meadows some more time to develop and fine-tune his game so he can actually, when he comes up to the major leagues, he can come up, produce, and stay.
Ed, one of my favorite questions this time of year is managerial vacancies. How many do you think we're looking at once the season comes to an end?
Well, I was convinced that Mike Matheny was going to get the axe, but I'm hedging my bets on that right now. It'll be interesting to see how the Cardinals go over the final 2 weeks. If they continue to faceplant like they did at Wrigley, I think Matheny's gone. But that was final 7 games at home. He's going to be managing for his job, I think. If the Cubs make it tough on the Cubs and Brewers and maybe come within an eyelash, I think he might stay. But I think that's one position to watch. Off the top of my head, I know there's some rumors out of Atlanta that Brian Snitker could be on the way out. They're talking about Bo Porter or Ron Washington filling his spot. So I think right now Brad Ausmus would be another one. Does Alex Avila want to maintain Ausmus through the rebuild? Or do they want to say, if we're going to do the full teardown, let's bring somebody else in to work with these kids, develop them, and get them up there? Or do you just stay with Ausmus, knowing that you're going to be losing for the next 2, 3, 4 years, and that'll be really tough to recruit a good manager who knows that he's going to be facing that kind of rebuild, so you might be better off with Ausmus. So off the top of my head, I think those are the three guys who are going to probably face the hottest seat. And I think as a Miss Congeniality, I think John Gibbons in Toronto, I think the Mark Shapiro and Russ Atkins can already say if we had a lot of injuries, but I think Gibbons might be another one where they may say, let's make a change. And one more is Terry Collins. I don't know if Collins is going to be fired or if he's just going to call it a day. I think just off the top of my head, those are probably the five managers I'd be on the watch for.
Yeah, I think if I were Terry Collins, I would probably say I'm looking retirement square in the face here at this point. What about Brian Price and the Reds?
Price is coming back. I think the fact that they have the lineup has been fairly solid, very productive, and the pitching is starting has been much better the last couple of months. They dealt with injuries at the beginning of the season. And they've had thrown a lot of kids into the fire up there, see what stuck. And it didn't do it for the first half of the season, but the last month, 6 weeks, it has. And again, I think Price's situation is very similar to Brad Ausmus, and that you're in a rebuild phase of the Reds. It's not been a total teardown like the Tigers have undergone, but Dick Williams has wanted to rebuild, and he's done it a little bit. And again, it's going to be tough to have somebody come in knowing that you're going to face 2, 3, 4 years of heavy losses. You might be better off just sticking with Brian Price, and he seems to be in favor with Williams and the management in Cincinnati.
If the Minnesota Twins hang on and get that second wild card spot, is Paul Molitor the AL Manager of the Year, or does Terry Francona and maybe even Joe Girardi get some consideration?
I don't think Girardi does, simply because of the. I think there will be a New York bias. And Francona, I mean, if he wins Manager of the Year, it's going to be again, and not so much it's going to be because of that 22-game winning streak, and I think also accumulation of what he did last year with the team, and again this year. I think he's done a fantastic job, and I think Paul Mahler. I would probably say that my top three candidates are going to be Mahler, Terry Francona, and I don't think you can discount A.J. Hinch and the job that he's done in Houston this year. After the disappointing season they had last year, the way they've come back this year, I think that your top three candidates for Manager of the Year in the AL is going to be Mahler, Hinch, and Francona in no particular order.
Let's end where we started today, the 22-game win streak by the Cleveland Indians. Anybody who follows baseball has to appreciate what the Indians were able to do there. It's such a volatile game. To predict from day to day, to run off 22 wins in a row. Why wasn't that a bigger deal nationally?
Cleveland. I mean, if this was the Mets or Boston or even the Dodgers, this would have been headline news on ESPN. It would have been breaking every 2 seconds. They would have had some sort of new update on what Terry Francona had for breakfast. You know, Corey Kluber was going to the bathroom. Does he have the flu? Does he have intestinal problems? if this was Boston or New York, it would have been, you know, we would have been nauseated by it. But I think because it's Cleveland, a little lower profile, but I think that's what makes it a sweeter story. You have this small market team, a team that came so close to ending their winless World Series drought last year, losing in a heartbreaking fashion, to come back with 22-game winning streak. And not just at the beginning of the year or doing it in May or June, but you're doing it during the middle of a pennant race that really put the division out of reach. So I just think it was a remarkable story. It should have received more publicity. The pitching staff had an ERA under 2. And the thing that really amazed me most about their streak, that the Cleveland pitching staff surrendered fewer runs total, overall fewer runs than what the Cleveland offense hit home runs. So the Indians offense produced more home runs than the Indians pitching staff allowed total in runs. And I think that's really a phenomenal stat over a 3.5 week stretch like that. It is historic. It is groundbreaking, and it'd be interesting. I don't know if we'll ever see anything like that again in our lifetime.
Great stuff, as always, Ed. We will touch base with you in 2 weeks, and we'll have a much clearer picture of the postseason at that point.
And it will be October the next time we speak. My goodness, how this season has gone by.
Hard to believe. Ed Creech, MLBTradeRumors.com. Best of luck to your Brewers down the stretch, Ed.
And the Spartans this weekend against Notre Dame. Don't forget them. We're trying to go
3-0. I'm taking them plus the 4.5. I'm calling an outright victory for Michigan State.
Woo-hoo!
There you go. Book it. They'll wind up losing now. Trust me.
Kiss of death.
Kiss of death. Iowa fans, I want to give you a heads up right now. I'm picking against the Hawkeyes in Saturday's Cedar Rapids Gazette. You do not want me picking Iowa in that game. Kiss of death. I had Iowa State beating Iowa in week 2. Didn't happen. Kiss of death when I pick Iowa football games. So do not get upset when you see, I think 28-20 is what I went with as the final score.
It's respectable.
Only Tuesday. I'm giving away the Saturday morning Cedar Rapids Gazette. I don't know whether the folks over there want me to do that or not, but I'm locked in. I've made my prediction. It is what it is at this point, but Hawkeye fans, you do not want me choosing Iowa to win in this spot. Trust me, I'm trying to do you a favor. 319-366-1600. Great stuff with Ed as always. Good God, can you imagine what a 22-game Yankees winning streak Red Sox winning streak would mean? He's absolutely right. CNN, all of the major networks, fake and non-fake, would be all over Boston, New York. I'll say it, the Cubs, it's Cleveland. No one really noticed. No one really cared. I'm telling you right now, people are going to take notice of the Indians in October. That is back in March, I was in love with that team. Seeing them in the World Series last year and what they had in spring training and the changes that they made, Terry Francona is such a great manager. Indians, I've had them in the World Series since March. Just, again, don't ask me who I had them playing.
You had them winning the World Series,
right? Yes, I do.
So who they play is meaningless, right?
I have to. Exactly. Exactly. I have to stick with that. I can't, when we get to that point in the game where we're doing postseason predictions, I have to stick with the Indians now, right? Since they made it from start to finish, I can't suddenly say, well, no, I think it's going to be the Nats and the Red Sox.
Well,
I can't do that.
That's hedging your bet. A lot of people, that is a common practice. Kids, that's a common practice.
Remember that time that the Indians won? I don't know.
That's awesome.
Kyle on the 3530 on the text line said that would have been better if we would have been able to make out who was asking the question. It's probably some poor kid. And I feel bad about it because I was in that position. And again, I will at some point, probably the next time that I open my mouth, ask a question that isn't that great. But I had to go back to that well.
Should we go back to it again?
Let's one more time, the Chris Farley Show question of the week earlier today in Iowa City. This I've already forgotten. Was this the which player? Nate Stanley?
This was Nate Stanley, yes.
Nate Stanley, the Chris Farley Show question of the week. Remember that time.
Do you guys remember how you felt last year after the Penn State game? Is that something you guys talk about, like, we don't want to feel like this ever again?
Yeah, but you know, it's more so just being able to go out and compete to the best of our abilities. Obviously, we all remember that feeling and don't really want to feel it again because, I mean, it's not the best feeling in the world. So, you know, just being able to remember that and learn from it so it doesn't happen again.
Remember that time it was 6:30 and we needed to go to a break? That was awesome. More of the Todd Brumel Camp Show on the way after this.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000-mile mark. Right now, get any 5 quarts of Valvoline Premium Conventional Oil and an STP filter for $24.99 or an extended life filter for $2 more. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
On every job site, the formula is the same. Less downtime equals more profit. Reduce that downtime with top-notch machinery from Star Equipment, like the JLG 1930 ES electric scissor lift, with more of what you need for every job. More duty cycles to keep you on the job longer. More versatility to work in a wide variety of environments with cleaner, quieter operation. And more features and productivity-enhancing tools. Rent or buy from Star Equipment and improve your job site profits. Star Equipment, Iowa born in 1968. StarEquip.com.
The Cedar Rapids Parks and Recreation Department proudly supports sports for preschool through high school students, with programs and facilities serving thousands of kids each year. This fall, take in the beauty of the season at a Cedar Rapids golf course. During September, you can play from 7 a.m. until dusk, and in October from 8 a.m. until dusk. And that's at all 4 Cedar Rapids golf courses, Twin Pines, Ellis, Jones, and Gardner. See special fall rates at playcedarrapidsgolf.com.
6:32, welcome back in, and we are in desperate need of playing a little catch-up here, so let's kick it over to Kyle Mann. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
It wasn't really much of a surprise, but Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media today in Iowa City and confirmed that Akram Wadley is healthy and will be at full go this weekend against Penn State, though he also said that he'll be sure to use Ivory, Kelly Martin, and Torin Young to keep Wadley fresh. Iowa safety Imani Hooker is heading into his first game as a starter for the Hawkeyes this weekend, and after a strong performance last weekend, he's been named to Pro Football Focus's Week 3 All-Big Ten defense. Iowa State had a handful of selections to the All-Big 12 teams, including David Montgomery on the offense again. He's been recognized every week this season, and on the defense, it was safety Braxton Lewis, as well as former quarterback-turned-linebacker Joel Lanning. Former Cyclone D lineman Justin Thomas will get his chance in the NFL as he reached a deal with the Cleveland Browns today to join their practice squad. Thomas played at Iowa State in 2015 and 2016. The Gazette and KGYM's high school football rankings are out for this week. West Des Moines Dowling sits atop Class 4A, followed by Iowa City West. Cedar Falls is number 8 and Cedar Rapids Prairie number 9. Xavier is the top-ranked team in 3A, Solon number 3. And in Class 2A, Williamsburg is at the top with Mount Vernon 3rd. Iowa City Regina is 3rd in Class 1A. The Twins are in action with the Yankees in New York tonight. They were supposed to get started around 6 o'clock. They're actually in a delay. We'll join that that game in progress wherever it is on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, after the show.
That is going to be a fun race to watch play out in the American League as far as the Yankees, the Angels, and the Twins. The Yankees have an opportunity to definitely take the upper hand there and clench with an iron fist the first wild card, and whoever they wind up playing, they'll have to go to New York, and they'll have home field advantage there. While we're talking about Manager of the Year candidates, I think it's a interesting race in the National League as well. You almost have to look at the National League West between Torey Lovullo of the Diamondbacks and Bud Black in Colorado, who has done a tremendous job. And Alex, I know you'll remember, I was on Colorado back in spring training as a team that I thought maybe until July 31st was going to hang around. The Rockies have done way more than that. They've been playing really good baseball, and of course it helps that you have arguably the best third baseman in the game in Nolan Arenado in your lineup on a daily basis. Are you aware that your Memphis Redbirds are playing for the AAA championship tonight?
I thought that they already won it.
No, they're playing. Well, it's the Pacific Coast League champion and the International League champion.
Oh, so they won the PCL.
Meeting. They won the PCL. They're playing the Durham Bulls tonight. Yes, that Durham Bulls team.
I was not aware. I thought that the season had wrapped up, but I knew a lot of people in Memphis were excited about that team with all the new faces that they saw this year and all the players that had to get called up to the big club. They were still able to get it done, and hopefully they can finish off. What is the trophy called at that level?
Is it the Governor's Cup or is that the International League?
Bring home some hardware.
Anyway, the absolute worthless thing that I was going to throw in here is that Colton Wong's brother plays for the Durham Bulls.
Oh.
He's in the Tampa Bay Rays organization. The Bulls, by the way, when they made the movie Bull Durham, the Durham Bulls were a Class A affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Now they are a Triple A affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays, a team that didn't even exist when the movie was made.
Other worthless factoids. I'm looking on Twitter right now, and
that's going to be the final 20 minutes of the show tonight.
Other
worthless facts from Twitter. Let's do it. Why not?
This will have a tie-in for tomorrow's show. Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN is going to be joining us tomorrow.
Yeah, he's on the Fast Lane.
He is.
In St. Louis.
With our buddy Brad Thompson.
Yeah, talking fantasy football.
So Brad Thompson, who is a guest of our show, has a familiar guest
now,
on his show.
Did Brad Thompson ever call you and ask for Tristan Cockcroft's phone number?
He did not.
Okay, but somebody else did.
I don't know if it was Tristan Cockcroft's number, but somebody else in the past.
Hey, how you doing?
Well,
no,
the first
hey,
time,
how are things at the station?
First time it was like that. The second
time
it
wasn't. Hey, what's
Tristan's
number? Oh. 867-5309. Good luck getting him to pick up. I don't know who would answer first, 867-5309 or Jesse Rogers of ESPN Chicago, who, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Here's why I know this. Jesse has a radio background, and the guys that have radio backgrounds don't normally screw over radio stations, even small-time ones in Eastern Iowa that he probably doesn't have the time of day for, but is kind enough to occasionally come on with us. So I'm assuming, once again, he got busy today, and he was going to be able to join us, but it was going to be 5:50. And I said, that's 6.5 minutes, and we just, what information can you get out of a guy in 6.5 minutes? So we'll have him on again at some point down the road. The Cubs and the Rays are underway, I believe, at Tropicana Field. Joe Maddon's first trip back to the Trop since he left the Rays. Remember, after the 2014 season, there was an opt-out clause in his contract. A lot of people thought maybe the Cubs were guilty of tampering there. He opted out of his contract in Tampa Bay and wound up taking over the Chicago Cubs. Right now, 1-0 Cubs in the top of the second inning. So they've got an opportunity to make it 7 in a row tonight. And the Brewers, I believe, are also in action right now. They are scoreless at Pittsburgh as they head to the bottom of the second inning. Cubs coming into today with a 3.5 game lead over the Brewers. Are you a believer in what Ed Creech said, that the NL Central is still a 3-team race at this point?
No.
You sound so sad.
No, I'm not all that sad, surprisingly. But I just don't think that the Cardinals have had a couple opportunities where they've put themselves in a position at one point just about a month ago to tie the division. And they've followed those winning streaks up with poor baseball and getting swept by the Chicago Cubs, I think, was the final nail in the coffin for this season. And I've said that a couple times, and they've battled their way back into at least the discussion. But I'm guessing by the time that series in St. Louis takes place, they're going to have to probably win all of those games. They'll have to sweep a four-game series against the Cubs to be in the discussion again. So I've been cautiously optimistic with this team all season, saying, well, if it happens, it happens. It probably won't, because I just mathematically and on paper, they just don't look like a very good team. But I am not ready to buy in on that.
Were you surprised that Ed brought up Mike Matheny as a manager who could be out of a job?
No, that was the chat. That was the discussion earlier in the season. And I think Ed basically said that he's hedging his bets there. He's not going to get fired. Mike Matheny will not get fired this season. He will be the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals next season. Bill DeWitt loves him. He's his hand-picked guy. And the ownership right now is 100% behind him. And Cardinal fans may not like that, but that's the case. He's going to be the manager in 2018.
6:41, we'll play a little catch-up here in the final 20 minutes or so of the program tonight. Twins baseball on the way. As we mentioned, games in progress. We might as well give you an update as to what's going on at Yankee Stadium between the Twins and the Yankees. Middle of the first inning, scoreless. No, delayed. I'm sorry. That was the Nationals-Braves game. They are still in a delay. So depending on how things play out, you may get the majority of the game tonight. We're going to join it in progress at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM if they get it in. I know the tarp was off the field the last time that I saw an update. They were optimistic, but perhaps the rain has returned to New York. It'll be CC Sabathia against Jose Berrios, 12-7 with a 3.84 ERA in his second turn in the major leagues. Certainly much better than the first go-around, and part of the reason why the Twins are 78-72 coming into play tonight. More of the Todd Bromelkamp Show on the way after this.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it Blimp Worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors.
Mm-hmm.
And shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
I met someone. It's something you hear a lot from people on Match, because more people have met their someone on Match than any other dating app. Everyone wants to find that meaningful connection. Match is number one in first, but also in second dates too. Now I'm going to hook you up. For my listeners, go to match.com/sports for 7 days free. That's 7 days completely free to search and connect for my listeners. This free offer is only found at match.com/sports. That's match.com/sports.
Progressive presents Mindflowness with Flo.
You are in the driver's seat, in complete control, in life and on the road. Your driving record is impeccable, and for this, you are greatly rewarded with Snapshot from Progressive. You use your savings to buy a World's Best Driver t-shirt. It runs a little small.
The more righteous you drive, the more you can save with Snapshot from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in all states or from all agents.
Welcome back to Random Things That We Pull From Twitter in the final 15 minutes of the program
tweets
tonight.
With no context?
Tweets without context. It
never got it, off the ground.
It was a one-time. It was a one-time thing with a Forrest Saunders tweet from KCRG, and since then, we have not done it. And I'm sure there are people that would love for us to give the Checking In with Doug and Daddy treatment the exact same thing. No. That was not the case. As a matter of fact, we decided we were going to dive back into that particular pool today. It was very shallow, and we may or may not have suffered a spinal cord injury, and checking in with Doug and Daddy may be on a ventilator right now. But other than that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? Todd Brummel Camp Show taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Let's see if we can get an update on the Twins and Yankees as far as the weather in New York. But that game, in theory, is what you will hear on 107.5 FM tonight. Let's talk about what you heard last night. Monday Night Football. The Lions and the Giants. Are the Giants as bad as they looked last night?
Yes.
Ugh.
Why?
And I'm going
to attribute the texter who sent in a text about an hour ago, and I'll try to find who it was. But why do we continually see the Giants on primetime games?
Well, everybody gets one, right? Or everybody is supposed to get a Thursday night game. They broke the Giants out early on us this year. I'm clapping at Tristan tomorrow for the Paul Perkins draft pick in fantasy. I'm cutting him. He looks awful. Eli Manning gets criticized after the game by Ben McAdoo. If you're the Giants, and here's what I don't understand, and this is not me being bitter because I lost a fantasy football matchup because he played last night. If you're the Giants, it's a 16-game season, and Odell Beckham Jr. is at 90% last night. And you know, and they said this on the pregame show, could not have agreed more. If you play him last night, he's probably never going to be 100% this year. If you rest him for one more week, maybe he's 100% the following week. They played him last night, and I don't necessarily know if that was the best idea. But that is a team that has some major issues. Another team, as we look back on week two of the NFL season, with some big-time problems, the Dallas Cowboys. Ezekiel Elliott. What did he finish with? 8 yards on 9 carries?
Yes.
Against the Broncos?
You ask about the product in the NFL, and you described it as boring, and I agree with you, because a few years ago, they made all these rules to help the offenses out, and I feel like we're slipping back into a bad offense era in the NFL. All of these teams that have put together these offenses in free agency and through the draft have gotten off to really, really poor starts. The New York Giants, you had Brandon Marshall, you bring in Evan Ingram, Odell Beckham Jr., relying on Paul Perkins. Eli Manning will bounce back when he has some weapons around him, right? Wrong. At 36 years old, I hate to say it, and I don't think it's as bad as Peyton was in his final year where he could barely throw, but I feel like his career is kind of running on fumes at this point. And you saw what the Dallas Cowboys did last week. And I brought it up yesterday, but the Seattle Seahawks have scored 21 points in 2 weeks. They scored one offensive touchdown. And that's the favorite, according to Vegas, in the NFC. So right now, I agree with you. I don't find a lot of football on Sunday overly entertaining. And the New York Giants, who after an 11-5 season last year, I thought the addition of Marshall and Ingram would help the offense. Brandon Marshall couldn't catch the ball last night. And you can't put that all on Eli Manning. I know McAdoo was mad at Manning after the game, and that's just basically serving up a softball for the media in that market. But a lot of times, it wasn't on him, even though I just said that I think he is running on fumes at this point, and I wholeheartedly believe that.
Every time I hear Ben McAdoo, all I can think of are two things. One, he bears a slight resemblance to Steve Kane, who is our sales manager here in the building. And two, the Roger Miller song, Do Wackadoo. Every time I hear Ben McAdoo, all I can think of is do wackadoo, wackadoo, wackadoo. But I watched that game last night, and again, it's not players kneeling for the national anthem. I don't buy that as to why people are not watching. It's because of games last night that it just it wasn't that interesting, and I found myself watching it out of habit because I watch Monday Night Football. That's what I do. And I didn't have a vested interest in it last night, even for fantasy football purposes. I'm not the type of guy who watches a game because of fantasy football. So, and I know they are out there, both men and women, they exist. I have to find what I am watching interesting. And I found myself much rather wishing that I were watching the Ken Burns Vietnam documentary, although I didn't get in on the first episode, and now I'm waiting to have to play catch-up. Episode 3, I think, is tonight on PBS. But I found myself, that to me is way more interesting than that game last night. And Matthew Stafford, here's all you need to know. My wife is a huge, huge NFL fan. Her entire family loves the NFL. She had no idea Matthew Stafford was the highest paid player in the NFL. I blew her mind last night.
It is mind-blowing.
I said, can you believe they made him the highest paid player in the NFL? And she looks at me and she said, who? Matthew Stafford is the highest paid player in the NFL. Maybe that should tell you a little bit about your product, that quarterbacks are at such a premium. Now, look where the Lions are today to where they were a decade ago. I get it. And Stafford's that second or third tier quarterback where you go, man, we could be a lot worse off. We could be the Bears. Let's keep hitching our wagon to Matthew Stafford. But that's part of the issue, at least to me, when I look at the NFL. If Matthew Stafford is the highest paid player in your league has issues.
Quarterback issues.
Quarterback issues and keeping star players healthy and on the field. Because with all due respect to Geronimo Allison, the former Illinois wide receiver, who is going to be most likely filling in for Jordy Nelson for God knows how long with Green Bay, and whoever is replacing Greg Olsen at tight end in Carolina, and it's week two of the season going into week three, and we're already seeing star players. David Johnson out after week one. It's extremely difficult. Can you imagine the NBA if within the first couple games of the season you had LeBron James and give me two other stars.
Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant,
and they're all hurt.
Steph Curry.
Right out of the gate. And it makes it really difficult to watch. I'm not a fan of any of those NFL teams other than the Packers, but it makes it difficult to watch those teams because they don't even have the star players out there. That's another thing that the NFL, in my opinion, is encountering. And you just, there's no anecdote to that. There's no antidote to that. I misspoke, sorry. You can't just magically wave a wand and put the best players out there. By all means, continue to say that it's players kneeling for the national anthem, why no one's watching anymore. I watched last night, and there were four different opportunities where I wanted to reach for the remote and put on the Real Housewives of Orange County or just dive first into public broadcasting. Didn't do it. 6:53, we'll talk a little bit more about this tomorrow. We're going to go to a break. We come back. Kyle's going to have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you, and we'll set the table for what you can expect on a Wednesday edition of the program. Back after this.
These are the $25 Mediacom's taking off the price of its Extreme packages every month for a whole year. That's right. Mediacom's taking $25 a month off its Extreme packages for a whole year.
Just show them your current bill from the satellite TV or slow DSL service you've got now. You'll get up to 100 megabit internet with matching Wi-Fi speeds, TiVo DVR, over 230 channels, free on demand, and nationwide calling. Extreme packages with TV, internet, and phone are as low as $24.99 per service a month for 1 year when bundled. Plus, for a limited time, choose a free one-year bonus, either Showtime or a speed boost up to 200 megabits. Just get out your current provider's bill and call MediaCom at 1-800-SIMPLIFY for details. That's 1-800-SIMPLIFY.
Limited time offer available to qualify new MediaCom customers switching from a competitive TV or HSD service provider. Prices do not include installation, modem rental, activation, taxes, fees, and sports and broadcast surcharges. Internet speeds may vary and a monthly data usage allowance applies. Additional charges and restrictions may apply. Not available in all areas.
Football is a fast and rough and tumble game. In many ways, it's a lot like your business. You need the right game plan and team to win in business. Network Computer Solutions is your bench when it comes to the tech issues that can make the difference between winning and losing. Call NCS at 247-7223, 247-7223, and put them on your IT team. NCS is your big-time IT department at a fraction of the cost. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
At Honda, we always look for ways to innovate. That's why we combined summer and celebration to create the Honda Summerbration sales event. You can combine 0.9% APR with the stylish Accord, a car and driver's 10 best. So hurry into your local Honda dealer for the Honda Summerbration sales event. It's amazetacular.
Hurry into your local Central Midwest Honda dealer or go to centralmidwesthondadealers.com for more details.
Car and driver, January 2017. APR financing offers available for well-qualified buyers. See dealer for financing details.
Welcome back. Let's send it over to Kyle. He's got a Midwest One Bank big board update for you. Midwest One, where you're the one.
It wasn't really a surprise, but Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media today in Iowa City and confirmed that Akram Wadley is healthy and will be at full go this weekend against Penn State, though he also said that he'll be sure to use Ivory Kelly-Martin and Torin Young to keep Wadley fresh. Iowa safety Amani Hooker is heading into his first game as a starter for the Hawkeyes this weekend, and after a strong performance last weekend, he's been named to Pro Football Focus's Week 3 All-Big Ten defense. Iowa State had a handful of selections to the All-Big 12 teams, including David Montgomery on the offense again. He's been recognized every week this season, and on the defense, it was safety Braxton Lewis as well as former quarterback-turned-linebacker Joel Lanning. Former Cyclone D lineman Justin Thomas will get his chance in the NFL as he reached a deal with the Cleveland Browns today to join their practice squad. Thomas played at Iowa State in 2015 and 16. The Gazette and KGYM's high school football rankings are out for this week. West Des Moines Dowling sits atop Class 4A, followed by Iowa City West. Cedar Falls is number 8 and Cedar Rapids Prairie number 9. Xavier is the top-ranked team in 3A, Solon number 3. And in Class 2A, Williamsburg is at the top with Mount Vernon 3rd. Iowa City Regina is 3rd in Class 1A. The Twins are in action with the Yankees in New York. At least they're supposed to be. They were going to start at 6, but they're still in a delay. Regardless, we're going to join that game in progress on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
No, we're not. We're going to join it for first pitch tonight, 7:10. First pitch at Yankee Stadium, Jose Berríos and C.C. Sabathia. Fantasy football questions. We got answers with Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com. Join us for a Wednesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Thanks for listening.
For the all-new McGrath Volkswagen of Marion, here is Pat McGrath.
When we had the opportunity to add Volkswagen to the McGrath family of dealerships, we didn't hesitate for a moment. With the high level of performance